missed y'all last week. But I know you're in good hands. And of course, Derek and Jennifer wanted to know all about you. Their church is so precious, and we had a really good time. God did some great things, and the interesting thing about going to see basically their family to me is that what just comes back on you.
Yeah,
and it's just so beautiful to be connected with the people of God. And we were there for Terry Foy,
yeah.
And that was wonderful. And then we went up to the One Hope, and they had their new building. So we were pleased to be with them and excited about it, and they already need more room. So, but we're grateful for them. We're grateful that we have such a great friendship. And Miss Ann Holler showed up, so we got to see her too. So we saw more than one Holler.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 6:24. God is good. Matthew 6:24. Hallelujah. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. People try to cross that line all the time. Christians try to cross that line all the time. Mammon here just simply means personal wealth. Well, we're not into personal wealth. We're into kingdom wealth, which means that the kingdom resides over our personal wealth, and so we're more prosperous than we would be if we just went after personal wealth. So what we've learned to do is separate those things out differently. It's not just about me and what I can get. It's about how I can function and flow in the kingdom, and then it reciprocates, right? Y'all get that. And so the verse 33 there says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we know here it's saying, don't serve yourself, serve God. And so, church, that's what faith is all about. So glad to have Margaret back here.
Amen.
So I saw Elijah running around in here somewhere, but I think he had a little cry. He's back here somewhere. Praise the Lord. Good to see y'all. So God's wanting to seek the kingdom first. It's not because he's arrogant. It's because he's the biggest one in the universe, and he knows he can do it better than us. And he knows that the kingdom functions better than any way we can play it. And so we want to connect to the kingdom. And, of course, our way of connecting to the kingdom is tithing and giving. And that keeps us straight. That keeps us knowing who we're putting first, and then God puts us first. And so if you put the kingdom first, then he's going to put you first. And so, you know, we work and work to make things happen, and we think if we don't make it happen, it won't happen, you know. Well, listen, we should work. If you don't work, there's a scripture about that. You're supposed to work. You're supposed to do your assignment in life. We're supposed to take care of what's been given to us, but God is supernatural. And when you sow into him, John, can we turn it down just a little bit? When you sow into him, there's a connection there that causes things to flow back to you. It's just like sowing into the dirt, but better. I'm telling you, you should see our garden. The potato plants are that high. They're perfectly green. There's not a bug on them. And I have a witness. Looking good. Thanks to John Calvary. And we plant the seeds. How many asparagus?
Over 1,200.
1,200 asparagus out of the garden. Some of you have been eating it. Now the squash is about to come up. The okra's been a little slow, but we're going to get it moving this week. But that's how God functions too. You put something, you sow a seed, you should be looking for a harvest. I think the problem is we don't always look for a harvest. So I think that's kind of the theme of the day. Start looking.
Amen.
Yes. I mean, start looking.
Yes.
When Carter Jones was little, and we'd go down to see him. I went to see him every 2 weeks, you know. The grandmother has to do these things. And so you could see him bouncing in the window when Gran and Gigi came. He was looking for us. He was waiting for us. He was looking down. You have to drive into their, they live out in the country, drive into the drive. He was anticipating. That's how you ought to be about your finances.
Yeah.
Anticipate something to come along that maybe hadn't come along before.
Amen.
Right now, Carter Jones is not little. He's 16, but he's kind of looking in the driveway for a package from Gran. And I mean, it's a big one, too. That's what God does. That's what God does. You'll be blessed. Keep that in the forefront of your thinking this spring, church. You're a tither. You're a giver. Expect. If you're not a tither or a giver, I tell you, don't expect. But you, not from the kingdom, you can expect from your own two hands. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are tithers and givers, and we do expect.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we seek you first, and we prove that by sowing into you. We honor you, Lord, with our substance and with our first fruits of all our increase,
yes,
so that thy barns shall be plenty and our presses shall burst out with new wine. God said, I will honor them that honor me, and so we claim that today in Jesus' name. Father, in your word, you said you shall not delay to offer your harvest from the outflow of your presses. You will give your first fruit of your sons to me. So, Lord, I declare no more delay in Jesus' name. Delay is not a good thing. We will not delay, and you will not delay. We will not reap a harvest of delay. You are in the midst of us, and you will help us right early. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you would like to give, that was cool. If you would like to give via text message, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 253-256 and click the link and be a giver. Or come on, brothers. Y'all, excuse me, please. Thank you, Jesus. I have overcome and am happy about it. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate you praying for me. We're going to go to Matthew 21, as you have already supposed. I want to encourage you just for a minute about something. I didn't think I'd talk about this, but I want to. Yesterday, I went to an old cemetery in Hays County. Me and Deb and Sissy, y'all know Sissy, my brother, his wife, and my niece and nephew and my grandnephew, and we buried the ashes of my sister-in-law. And it was the most precious thing for us to go and do that, and we had lunch together, and that was all good. But the things that happened while we were there together are priceless. I was able to tell her children things they didn't even know about her. And I'm bringing this up because we were talking about how you don't realize divine appointments in your life. And I've known that girl since I was 6 years old. We rode horses and played hide and seek. And I probably told you all that story before, but she's the one who put in me travel. We sat, anybody ever been to Blue Hole in Wimberley? Beautiful, wonderful place. And we would sit out there and she'd tell me all about things. And then she and my brother went to live in Ethiopia for a while. He was in the Vietnam War, and so he was a communications guy. And so she kind of started traveling a few places in the world. And man, it got to her. Well, the way she released that to me, it changed my life. All I ever wanted to do was travel. And then that got on me, and now I've raised a bunch of travelers.
Yeah.
So much that they need to get themselves in here on Sunday. Yeah, but I encourage people to travel. But one thing that I probably never mentioned to you is that this sister of mine is the one who gave me the job to get out of debt. And we've never gone back. It changed my whole future. And when they heard that, they were like, oh, wow. There were some comments about, we didn't know some of this stuff about mom. So I encourage you, those of you who are older, please tell your children about your life. Tell your children about your life. You don't have to tell them when you snuck out of the house or fell off the wagon or something. You don't have to do that. But you can tell them about your history. You can tell them. You could tell them. I could tell people how my great-grandmother went to heaven praying on her knees by her bed. There are good things to tell, right? So I encourage you in that. But most of all, this is what I'm encouraging you in, that you notice the divine appointment. Amen. All right, Danny, you want to start reading for me? Let's start at Matthew 21, verse 1.
Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'"
Praise the Lord. Thank you. So today's Palm Sunday. And so they were all waiting for the king to come through, riding on one of Larry's donkeys, one of his mules. The picture looked like a mule, didn't it? That was pretty cute. And so they're all waving. You know what this means? Victory. This means victory. So this is a good thing for us to do here at Victory. It just means victory. I mean, come on, y'all cheerleaders. Y'all did the pom-poms and everything else. This is the victory. Our king has come. Glory to God. And so, you know, this is an important day. And we always walk through just for a couple of minutes what happened. So they're celebrating their king, excuse me, and you know, there's thousands of people out there, and but they're chanting, "Pray, save, we pray," because they're wanting him to rise up and become king today. Okay, and so they were definitely crying to the right person. So anyway, every year we just take this journey and walk through, you know, with him as he entered Jerusalem. And what we know about him is that he was now approaching being set aside as the Lamb of God on the exact date that God told the Jews to set aside their lambs in Egypt. It is the exact date. This is how precise God is. So Jesus deliberately arranged his itinerary and personal activities around the events associated with selecting and testing the death for the Passover lamb. Y'all on my page here? Got me? So in this way, Jewish people should have understood what was going on. Some did, most didn't. But Jesus was set aside, just like the animal, to be sacrificed, examined, crucified on the exact month, day, hour that the Jews had been handling those lambs for 1,500 years. It was so clear to us. In the keeping of the Feast of the Passover. So he entered Jerusalem as the human Lamb of God on the exact day that God told the Jews to sacrifice the lambs. So now remember, when they get those lambs, they're going to make sure that they're perfect. They have to be perfect. And so Jesus always responded perfectly when he was observed. In fact, what did Pilate say? I find no fault. I can't find any fault in him. I mean, they had to come up with something, you know. So this is all happening in a 5-day period. And it was from the 10th to the 14th of Nisan, that's Jewish calendar, when the Jews were checking their lambs for the sacrifice. And then finally Jesus was crucified. He died at the same time the lambs were sacrificed at the temple. It's this exact hour this is happening. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And so the only thing about this sacrifice is it wasn't for a year. It was forever. It's forever. Thank God for the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. So, this day, Palm Sunday, is the day that that all began. And then that's why they call this the Holy Week. I know most of us know that, but just in case you don't. And so you know that week. This is when Jesus keeps going to the temple from Bethany. You know, this is when he says Mark 11:23 and all that good stuff, the fig tree and all that. This is all happening. This is when the money changers, the tables are thrown over. This is the Last Supper, the betrayal, the trial, the beating, the cross, the death. And there's just so much involved in this week. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now. Thank you for doing all that you do. Thank you for what you did. You went on trial so we don't have to. Your body was broken so ours doesn't have to be. You went to hell so we don't have to. You poured out your blood so that you could pay the penalty for our lives. You redeemed us from heaven, hell to heaven. And you conquered death by resurrecting on the third day. Victory is ours because of what Jesus has done. And so Resurrection Day is absolutely the greatest day in history. Amen. Christmas isn't. Today isn't. Resurrection Day is. Yes. It's the most important day of the church. Amen. And so you're probably involved and you're watching things and reading things about this week. So I was going to just talk to you about this. I was thinking about just what we can take away from Palm Sunday. So we have this king riding in on the colt of a donkey. That's prophetic in itself because Solomon rode in on a donkey in his coronation. They all thought that he was going to be king right then. That's something to think about. You know, then the Jewish king had become too powerful. So that's why they put in a Roman governor. It was too much of a threat. And so there wasn't a king there, so they were excited about going to get to have a king again. And so they were actually looking for takeover. But instead, they got a Passover lamb. That's really something to think about. So it's much bigger than a takeover because we're talking about life everlasting here. Amen? Praise God. So as clear as that picture is, they didn't get it. After all those years. And they still didn't get it. Hello? Are we going to get it? Are we going to get what God is doing? How blind are Christians today? How blind are they today? What do they not see? Let me just give you a for instance right now. Here's a question for you. When did Jesus pay for your sins? 2,000 years ago he paid. He actually said it before the foundation of the world. And then it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. So let me ask you another question. How many of your sins were future at that time? Huh? I got it. Thank you. All of your sins. You weren't even born yet.
That's right.
So all of your sins were paid for at the cross.
Wow.
Not yearly.
No.
They're all paid for at the cross. So he paid for future sin. Is that right? That's some good news. So when you were born again, he emptied the entire forgiveness account on you. The whole thing. You know, in the story of the prodigal son, the father was never mad at the prodigal son. He wasn't mad. He never stopped accepting him. But the son felt that way because of what he was doing. So, you know, if Satan can cause you to feel like God doesn't accept you because you have bad behavior, then he can keep you in a faraway country. But it's not the truth. Father accepts you because Jesus paid. He accepts you today because Jesus paid. So if you know your Father loves you and fully accepts you at all times, then you feel this inward motivation to see the foolishness of the things you do wrong, the sins. You're aware of those things. You're not just trying to fight to prove you're right all the time.
Right.
Amen. So, our on the other side of that, feel condemned all the time. Mm-hmm. So, now, here's another question for you. Is there a place in the Christian life for confession? For confessing your sins?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If it's like this, if it's acknowledging the foolishness of your disobedience to the Father and then praise him for already that your sins have already been forgiven. Because they have been. See, it's not that when you do something wrong that your relationship breaks. It's that there's broken fellowship on your side. Because whether you like it or not, then the devil comes in. This is the whole point of holiness, Paul said. Everything's forgiven. Everything's good. But the truth is the devil comes right in as a legalist and starts accusing you. And so you feel bad, and then people run from God instead of to God. We could just run to him. He'll be fine. He's already fine. So you don't need to beg God for forgiveness. You can't earn his love. It's already yours. You just need to go to him and say, I messed up. I come to the courts of heaven and I plead the blood, Father. Forgive me for that. And if you're really personal with him, you would do it just like you would do with a person. Will you please forgive me for that? I really messed up. And I'm sincerely asking you to forgive me. You know, that's just because it's a relationship thing. It's a relationship thing with him. Are y'all with me? So, here's another question. Is your concept of the Christian life one that suggests that God's primary concern with you is your behavior? I mean, how long have we walked and listened to Christians say things like, I can't go to church, the roof will fall in. Remember that? People say, in our day, they used to say that. Well, I can't go over there, the roof will fall in if I go to church. In other words, har, 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 I'm so bad. That's dumb. It's just dumb stuff. But yet, religion and a lot of preachers have actually helped with this by preaching sin consciousness all the time. You know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. God's not angry at you. He hasn't spent a day being angry at you since Jesus resurrected from the dead. Does he get displeased sometimes? Sure. Does he feel emotional about it sometimes? Yeah. But he'll bring correction. We know that.
Sure.
But he doesn't cut you off. And he's not playing whack-a-mole with you.
No. Amen. That's right.
He's like, come on in here. Bring it in. Yeah. We'll be all right. We can work through this. Yeah. And the thing about it is he always has an answer. The devil will try to make you feel guilty for things you didn't even do. Things that weren't even your fault.
Yeah.
stupid liar.
That's
right. So, see, when you focus on just rules, rules are good. We have to have some rules to get from one place to another and things. But when you just focus on rules, then failure is certain. Because I hate to tell you, but you're going to mess up somewhere. You're going to open your big mouth or your little mouth. Or you're going to step in the wrong way or do something or accidentally do something. I know you're not trying to make mistakes, but it happens sometimes. I never get up in the morning and think, man, I'm going to make 5 mistakes today.
Yeah.
Stew it. Staff gets there. John, come on, let's go make some mistakes. Don't think about that, right? It's just as you roll along in life, you see things to do, see things to change, see things to repent of, see things to flow in, and you learn and you grow.
Yeah.
Or you don't.
Yeah.
Some people stay babies, but we don't have to.
Right.
So rule keeping doesn't earn God's acceptance, and it doesn't lead to obedience. Focusing on sin I want to avoid is like going on a diet and reading the Pizza Hut menu every day so I can see what foods to avoid. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's not a place to focus. The Word says that He is able. He's able to keep you from stumbling. He'll keep you from stumbling. He can overcome every habit, every sickness, every disease, every worry, every threat. And he's the way you overcome and the way you do what is right. He's the way. You consider Jesus. You look upon Jesus. You gaze at him. He's the one to look at. Think about it. If we really just did that, instead of, they did that to me, right here, that kind of stuff, and, you know, always trying to prove something. What if we just looked at Jesus? What if we just focused on Jesus? Be a lot easier to love people. Be a lot easier to make it through life. Man, when I was growing up, everything was a sin. You didn't mix nationalities to get married. Now, y'all want to know what the Bible says about that? Nobody wants to know? I'll tell you. Not one form thing. Nothing. Yet it was a big deal when I was a kid. You can't marry a black man. But there's nothing in the Bible about that. It's just stuff people came up with for rules. They want to make lines. Once you get divorced, you can't be a preacher. That was one of them. Oh, and the other one, of course, you know, is women don't preach. Just stuff. Do this. Even some of them went to the extreme where if you saw their armpit, it was a sin. Right? There was extreme. Y'all haven't seen that as much as we did. We saw some stuff. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Don't you dare go dancing. So if you went down the Pentecostal church and danced with them, you were in sin. Well, we went down there and danced with them and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was good. And on April the 8th, I've experienced, 40-something years have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I've been happy ever since. There's nothing like the Spirit of God. Don't get all weighted down with the stuff. Look at Jesus. Praise the Lord. The definitive answer here is not what is right or wrong. The question is, am I abiding in Christ? Focus on the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because it's not going to help you. It didn't help them then. It's not going to help you now. It makes you aware of how bad you are, and then it doesn't give you any assistance to get out. That's what the law does. The law is good, you understand? But the law has no power to help you. Grace has power to help you. Do we want to know what's right and wrong? Yes, we do, but we want to know it by the Word and the Spirit of God and being led through it. We don't want to go sit under something all the time that is just, you're bad and you know you're bad. Now y'all straighten up. Just look at Jesus. He's so amazing. He's the door into the into not only heaven, but heaven on earth. You know, in my opinion, maybe not yours, I think we have a good president right now.
Amen.
Some of you agree. If you don't, you're not looking close enough. But a good president isn't the answer for a blessed America. It's good that he is and that we'll have more in the future. But even the Ten Commandments are not the answer. Are they good? Yes, they are in Christ. They're good. But Jesus is the answer because he kept them and he paid for you not keeping them. So abiding then is the answer and not trying to overcome. Just abiding, just living. Chill out, church. Chill out this spring. Quit trying to fight your way through everything and prove you're right. You don't need any of that. Guess what? There's some stuff you're not right about. There's a lot of things I'm not right about. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. Someone once said, do you preach the whole counsel of God? I don't know the whole counsel of God. But I'm learning. And I'm hungry, and I want to know. It's not going to waste my days, though. It's time to stop beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up. Look at what you're doing good. And then you'll start doing more good. And you'll start notice some things maybe that the Lord might be correcting you about, and then just do it. Like, you know, if you're mouthing off or talking about people or things like that. Have y'all heard that? Mouthing off? That sounds Texan, doesn't it? You know, you might want to drop that because there's a consequence to doing that. You're going to reap that harvest. So it's even, that's even something you would want to do just for you. And then also, you certainly don't want to poison people about other people.
That's good.
We don't want to judge Jesus' servants. But see, you can do that by grace. You can do it by grace. So, abiding then is the answer. So, here's what I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you you're in grace, so just do whatever you want. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that you're in grace and you can do whatever he wants. And you know what he wants because you allow the Spirit of God to lead you. And then you want it. I don't know about you, but I want God's will. See, I've been in this thing long enough where I know that I could come up with some dumb stuff. Thank you for agreeing. I'm so glad you're here. I missed you. But if he gives us the idea, it's just easy. I can just sense the spirit of ease this morning. I just sense his grace. I sense that he just wants us to walk in love and just follow him, do what he calls us to do. Yeah, Lord, I can say that. I'm closing anyway, so. Well, one of the things is don't misuse that. Let's just, since this is us here, don't misuse, well, I can do whatever I want to do. Well, the Lord tells me what to do. And then I tell y'all how the Lord has told us what to do. So I expect you to follow that, and if you don't like it, you'll pray. But you won't go against what I tell you to do. That's called insubordination. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Right?
Well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, that's not grace. That's sowing some really bad seed. So, but here's the thing. You can serve God and the vision of the house by grace. Where even if you don't agree with what I think we're doing, you can say to God, you don't have to come up and be the boss. You can say, Lord, I don't think that's so good, but I'm going to just pray about that for the leadership. And yeah. And you talk to them, or you talk to me and tell me I'm wrong. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that you fight with me or your boss or... You know, if you're working for somebody and you're not doing what they ask you to do, I would invite you to quit for their sake. If someone is your leader or your boss, by the grace of God, you can do what's expected of you. And not just go your own way. That's the way it works, church. That's the way, if you're employed by someone, they're expecting you to do not what you want. But there's a grace for that. And when you handle that properly, you're heard. You're heard. If you don't, you're not heard. You're just Charlie Brown's parents. All right. The Lord told me to throw that in there, so I did. Now, so... this is what we could take away today. Just as he entered in the city, knowing he was headed to pay for your redemption, you can enter into an abiding place and be sure he not only paid, but has full intention of empowering you to overcome sin and weight that is trying to weigh you down. He'll fully empower you with that. You can overcome anything. You can overcome anything. Yeah. Anything.
That's right.
All of you that are 40, all of you that are 15, listen, don't wait till you're 60 years old to get comfortable in your own skin. Just live in your prime. Just live your life. Just... find out who you are and be comfortable in it. And when the naysayers say, well, why don't you dress like this? And why don't you do this? And why don't you attend this? And why aren't you this? You can say, hey, I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. I'm ministering where God told me to minister. I'm doing what I heard. Will I take advice from you? Sure. As long as you're not throwing it in my face like a baseball.
Come on.
Yeah. Sure I will. And then I'll pray about it. And that's the way we all should live. But you got to be comfortable in your own skin. You don't have to change. So we went. I'm like, oh, wow, it's real early. You're going to get to beat all the Baptists to the restaurant. So I'll just tell you this one story. So we signed up with the Pentecostals because we wanted the Holy Ghost. But they weren't really Pentecostals. They were coming through that. You know, they were calling themselves apostolic, you know. And so we said, yeah, we're going to get the Holy Ghost. They were such sweet people and real knowledgeable about things we didn't know about. But there came a day when they ask us if we'll go buns and dresses. Because they hadn't been delivered from that yet. Do I get a witness? Well, y'all kind of know me, you know. Danny makes fun of me. She says, I haven't seen you in a dress. She went and looked at my closet. What, I had one skirt?
Well, but you got rid of it. So
yes, I don't have any now. I had one skirt in there. I mean, when we first started, Rachel's my witness, we wore dresses all the time because that's what you did.
Yeah.
I'm not against that, of course. But the funny thing was, I just remember that day of, here come the rules. And that's not who I am. But come to find out, they didn't really care. And I said, well, I don't know that I could do that. Okay, that's all right. But inside I went like this. But I did say this, God, if you want me to do this, I will obey if this is an order. But it wasn't. And they ended up putting their pants on and going on. So. Praise the Lord. Great people. I'm just telling you a funny story on purpose. But you're going to come up to those things in life. You're going to come up to things where, well, now this is right. This is right. Do this. I can't tell you all of the times I've gone to meetings that, you know, all the church growth things, all this, all that, and everything. But there's been so many of it that has not been based on Holy Spirit. It's just about growing in numbers, and then you just have a whole bunch of babies all the time. And so where we love numbers. Numbers are great. But we also love getting people to receive meat and to grow in character and stuff and to become disciples and not just come and drop by. Okay, so just as he entered into that city and he paid for your redemption, you can come on in and come into this abiding place that's easy. It's not hard. You'll be empowered, and he'll guide you in how to overcome. Now, well, I do have a couple more things to say. Let me say them quick. When they went to get that donkey, okay, so just look at this it's 11:12. Give me 7 minutes here. Okay, so this is the verse, go into the village opposite you, immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. Now that right there, that's it. And they'll send them. So when God has need of something, he'll tell you what to say. And he can move hearts. Because he moved hearts on these people who had the donkey. So when he needs something, and he needs for us to have something, he'll move on them. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen. He's looking for your answer. Yeah. That helps somebody right there. Yeah. So when you're working to bring God's dream to pass in the earth, he's going to see that you're provided for.
Amen.
Kyle, the provision has been made. I heard that over you when we were praying up here. The provision has been made. So, now the conduct of the owners of the donkeys are to be commended. Because they acted as stewards instead of proprietors. These are my donkeys. No, they said, well, if the Lord has need of it. So that's how we are about all of what we have. All of what we have. You know, it's a good thing just to say every day, whatever I have is yours. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to change, I'll change. Whatever I need to look at, I'll look at. This is a good thing to do. In my whole life, I've only heard the Lord tell me one thing I never had to give away. Just one thing, and I'm wearing it. This is the only thing he told me. You never give that away. He said, I might ask you for everything else, but you can keep that. So, their conduct was so good. They yielded cheerfully. They just yielded cheerfully. There are just people like that. There are just people, oh, yeah, you can do that. There was one time me and Deb decided we're going to take all the kids to the beach. And we had a little, in Deb's car, my car really wouldn't fit anybody. Deb had a little bitty Honda. But we were going to take all these kids to the beach. And we walked into the daycare, and actually the person who turned out to be our boss was in there. And Nancy was her name. And she says, what are y'all doing this weekend? We're going to take all the kids. In fact, that big old boy we were with yesterday, we took him. And so we, you don't talk amongst yourselves, we're having a visit. And so she said, well, how are you going to take all those kids? We said, well, the Lord will provide. And she said, come on out and get my Suburban. That easy. We took all the kids to the beach. That easy. She wasn't one of our best friends or anything. It was way down the line she became our boss. But there's stuff set up like that for you, church. There's a building for a ministry. There's a person to get you to the next place. There is. I believe in you. I believe in everything about you. I'm on your side. God's on your side. What the enemy would try to do is just pushed out of the way. Because we're going into full-blown glory days. And we're right in the middle of that. We're right in the middle of that. So he came there to Jerusalem, and so that just needs to be a picture of you today, that you're coming into your heavenly Jerusalem, and you're coming into your heaven on earth. You're moving toward it right now. See, like his, you can have a triumphal entry right now. You can just move into something right now. Amen? Yours isn't complete yet where you're going to heaven, but you can start moving into glorious things right now. The thing is it needs to be like him. It needs to be marked with meekness and courage. And one day you'll be crowned with your everlasting victory. Just while we're waiting for that day, we can just run the race with joy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. To be meek is to be humble. It's not to debase yourself, but it's to take the lower seat. Amen? And God will put his mighty hand on you and move you. Moses was meek, was he? And God used him to the max. Amen. So we live toward the Spirit, not the flesh. We do everything by the grace of God. It's the only way we can. We humble ourselves God's not going to humble you. You do it. And then we walk with courage. So, church, let's just be brave. Can we just be brave? Just have some courage right now. We're not cowards.
That's right.
We're sitting here with the God of the universe on the inside of us. So deal with fear. Deal with it. Send it out of here. Recognize it and deal with it. I just declare that as we enter our city, that we'll do so having fought the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
We don't go and say, well, you know, I barely made it along. I was a coward and I let the devil beat me up and I never got to where I needed to go. And I'm not going that way.
Right.
I'm expecting to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Not because I'm a preacher.
Right.
Just because I love Jesus and I'll just do what he tells me to.
Yeah.
We could just do that. That's for every one of us. Whatever you're called to do in life,
yes.
You're called to finish the race gloriously. And we're going to. We're going to do it as a team. We're going to do it as a church. In fact, we're going to do it as churches. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just remember this. When he entered, the whole city was moved. Whole city was moved. And so while you're here as an ambassador of Christ, and we honor him and we praise him, whole cities are going to be moved. Whole cities are going to be moved. So we just call upon the power of God right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for manifestation in whole cities, because whole cities will not be able to resist the presence of the King. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we will take it on to spend enough time in your presence that we move in power so potent that lives and atmospheres change because of our presence there. Yes. May our words carry power to create and deliver instead of kill, steal, and destroy. That day when Jesus rode into the city, everybody celebrated the King. And we're still celebrating the King. And the victory he wrought for us. Only today, though, we don't have to cry, Lord, save us.
That's right.
Because we already have the victory. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. We're free, church. We're free. We're free. I'm free to be me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for my life. I've preached and taught preachers. And I've preached in tent meetings. Amen. And I've enjoyed riding horses and looking at hummingbirds just as much. You got to think about these things. I mean, I tell you, John, I think we've got five out there now, and they're buzzing our heads. And they're so precious. They're so sweet to watch these hummingbirds. And I just give God the glory, just like when I listen to Danny pray. Give God the glory. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Everything you do can just be so much fun, can be a blessing, whether you're out in the country or in the city or whatever you do. You just lift up Jesus. We just live in that grace. Well, I don't know how anything's going to work out. That's because you constantly struggle with it. Put it down. He's the only way. He's the only answer. Jesus is the only answer. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Y'all good?
Yes.
It's going to be a good Holy Week. It's going to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God.